We're back. Here we are. We haven't done this for quite a few weeks because, unfortunately, the majority of the team decided to go away to the other side of the world. Stuart's been down in South Africa. Loney's been on the west coast of America. And so, you know, and we have actually had some people say, well, what's happened to the podcast?
We have.
Yeah, it would have been a bit sad, I think, if nobody had noticed. But a few people have said, when's the podcast coming back? So, here we are. Welcome back to Homer Potts Happy Hour. It's getting on towards the end of April now. The weather's nice and we're all in good mood. The
weather's not nice.
No, the weather's lovely today.
It's been freezing.
It's nicer. It's still not to my
satisfaction.
Well, I say nice. On the drive down here from North London to Sussex, all I could see was sun outside.
And it's cold.
It was warm enough. Yeah, but I wasn't sat on the roof of my car, was
it? Fair enough.
So, weather's nicer.
Nicer. Yeah, it has been very, very cold. For people listening outside of the country, it's been bloody cold.
Yeah.
And not that nice, but at least the sun's out a little bit today and some sort of hint of summer is on the way. Yeah. We seem to be missing one of our
people. Yes, we are missing Andrew.
Someone decided it was a far better option to play cricket today.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame we're missing Andrew, actually, because the last podcast we had a bit of a conversation about Leslie's huge jam pot.
Oh, gosh.
And and I seem to remember that you particularly enjoyed the fact that I'd made a bit of a cock-up or I'd got something wrong when it comes to the word marmalade.
I enjoyed it immensely.
You did enjoy that.
I did enjoy it immensely.
Well, I've been stewing on this for the last month, and I'm just going to play through my phone from the last podcast a short little bit about what went on there. And so here we are. So listen to it. It won't be very clear, but have a listen.
Yeah, that's Jan. How have we ended up on
how?
I know we diverse normally quite a lot of this, but how have we ended up at marmalade?
It comes from Queen Victoria, and they used to give marmalade.
Is that right?
No.
Absolutely.
That was pretty good.
Marm is a Portuguese word for jam.
Right, you all heard that, didn't you? Marm is a Portuguese word for jam. So I've looked it up, basically, and that's the biggest load of bollocks ever. I mean, marmalade is a Portuguese invention.
Oh, God. Why?
Portuguese and Spanish.
You've had a month.
Yeah, I have.
I've been to be the saddest bloke in the United Kingdom.
I was really pissed off with this. So I've lost my note. Here we are. Marmalade is a Portuguese word for jam. If you look, just go onto Google, everybody. Well, not at the moment, because you're listening to the podcast, and that's much more interesting.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But if you just Google...
I think we've lost everyone who actually had to begin
Portuguese
with.
Portuguese to English, put in jam, jalea. There you go. Portuguese for jam is jalea. It's not marmalade, Andrew, so that's you done. Right, on to the next subject. I've got that off my skin. I haven't been able to sleep properly for
the
last month.
You've been thinking about that for
months. You need therapy.
That he said marmalade is a Portuguese word for jam.
You need to get out. I know you've come down to Sussex, but you need to get out.
I hope you're listening to this, Andrew. You won't be. You're playing cricket today.
But there you go. Next time you'll have a comeback.
So that's that dealt with. So anyone going on a pub quiz where somebody says, what's the Portuguese word for jam? It's not marmalade. Stuart, how have you been?
Well, after that little tirade, I'm diatribe. I'm fine, thank you. Yes, I am very well. I'm very well. South Africa is very nice.
Yeah. I noticed that nice picture of the baboon going through your bins.
That was outside a restaurant.
Oh, was it?
That was outside a restaurant with a little baboon with a baby on his back. Yeah. It was quite sweet. I was quite excited about it. Some of the locals were not.
I think the next time anyone looks out at their bins and sees a fox going through it, it could be worse. You could be in South Africa.
Could be a baboon.
And have a baboon. Because you're not going to go and shoo a baboon away, are you?
No, I just took a photo.
Yeah. It was very black, that baboon. I thought they were more grey in colour.
Well, I didn't want to sort of, you know, go up and, you know, take a pigment test.
Yeah, I'm not claiming they're all grey because you'll probably go and Google it in the next week.
Well,
I
suspect Andrew might and come back and prove me wrong again.
Which
will give everyone huge, huge amusement.
Yeah.
So, what have we been up to, Lone?
Well, I had a good trip over to Vegas and Bakersfield. which was interesting. But
still interesting, Bakersfield?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to catch up with a lot of people there that we used to... Yeah,
did you go and look at your old house?
Friends. We did, actually, because our good friends and our neighbours, we went to their house and sat out and
same
I peered over the wall.
It to?
No. No, I think it's moved on a couple of times.
Is that because you sold a bit of a duff house?
I don't think so. I don't know.
A couple of bodies in the basement.
Yeah. Suddenly all that newly painted wall, all the damp came through it.
Yeah. No, but it was sad to see it, actually, because I did love the house. I did like being there. So, yeah, caught up with some friends, went to a wedding. That was...
always nice to go to a wedding.
Always nice to go to a wedding. Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I suppose we are. I think nearly everybody I know is either married or not going to get married.
Yeah, it was good. The bride and groom were busy, and so we didn't really get much of a chance to catch up with them as much as we'd have liked to, but it was good. And then we went up to Vegas. And
what was the dinner like? Does an American wedding run in the same way as a British
wedding? No, not at all.
So we don't all sit down and have an embarrassment. I can't imagine Californians really wanting to embarrass somebody with a best man speech.
Well, they do the speeches differently. This one, it was the matron of honour or the... and the best man.
Right.
So there was no groom or...
No father of the bride in the speech.
No. So they do it differently. They do... I don't think they're as super dressy as our... You know, we do the church... Well, before we do the church and the hats and all that sort of stuff. But it varies. But this was, it was very nice. It was an outdoor wedding and then we went inside and I enjoyed the bar. So friend and I, we thoroughly enjoyed the bar. And it was nice.
There's no stories about basically who the various people have slept with and embarrassing stories about like that.
No, not really. And the bride and groom sit on their own table as well. They don't do the top table like we have. They just sit by themselves, the bride and groom. And then family
do they?
And that. Yeah. Not, they don't have top tables like
and
we
no
do.
No mother-in-law gags.
No, none of those. No,
I better take this in note, actually, because it might possibly
happen. But our wedding, our wedding was really small and I was going to... I might have already said this actually on another podcast, but I wasn't going to bother with a speech or anything like that. And then somebody said to me, "You've got to do a speech." I thought, "Chris, I basically had to make it up as I went along." And I spent probably about 3 or 4 minutes taking the piss out of my mother-in-law. It was really nice, and that's how I got away with it. And actually forgot to mention Jane or Falcor.
Did
nothing at all. Not a thing.
No. I always remember your
absolutely useless
your wedding speeches. They were pretty good. But, I mean, I'd been on the...
Been on the pot for ages
really
at that
had,
point.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what I said. You were legless.
Yeah, I You'd do remember at the end of the night standing up on the chair and singing the order of service. I did like your hymns, so I decided to re-sing them at the end of the night.
You didn't like his hymns?
I loved them. I did. And that's why I wanted to sing them again. And I also remember having a bit of a tumble with the wedding cake at some point.
Jono. Yeah, big Jono fell over. £347 that fruitcake was. It cost me. Not that I'm bitter after 30 years later about having spent £347 on a cake that I don't even like.
And it fell on the floor. But I had a great time dancing.
And the Jono was so pissed he fell into it, knocked
Australian
on the floor.
Jono.
Australian Jono.
Really?
Fell into the,
what a buffoon.
I'm really sorry about your cake.
I don't remember him there at all because I didn't meet him for probably 2 or 3 years after that, didn't I? Yeah. I didn't know him in Virginia at
legend,
your wedding.
Legend, Johnny.
It was a good wedding.
Yes, I'm still getting abused now about things I might or might not have said in my wedding speech that still get brought up. And
I bet. I remember one thing you did say about your wife. But I won't bring up about the wedding present.
Leaving a wedding present in the oven.
In the oven.
No, a Christmas present in the oven and not finding it till July.
What I remember, and it really sticks in my head, your wedding, is that It was really lovely, and it was a marquee in your parents' garden. You know, it was a fairly pricey wedding, but your mum insisted on helping with the evening buffet by making a load of sandwiches a month before and sticking them in the freezer. And I'd never heard of that in my entire life.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, no. Literally made them, cut them all up, put them on a platter, covered it in cling film, stuck them in the freezer. Yeah, and got them out,
Wow.
Yeah, but you didn't notice, did you?
No, I don't even remember
you
them
were
eating sandwiches.
Very drunk.
I really was. It was pretty
anyway,
bad.
About,
but anyway, yes, but about Vegas, Vegas was very good. That was really nice.
Did you win anything? Did you have a budget?
No, AJ did. I didn't, but I was being pretty sensible, I suppose. But I did come out on top, so that was good. Yeah, and we went to see Miranda Lambert, which was brilliant. I went to the Sphere, which was really nice. Interesting. Yeah, that was
cool. I imagine you miss U2.
We did miss U2. Yeah, that's a shame. We missed Adele and we missed U2.
It can happen.
Yeah.
But you saw Amanda Lambert.
Miranda Lambert.
Miranda Lambert. That's just, I've never heard of her.
Yeah. She was good.
Or Miranda, come to that.
Yeah. No, so we had a good time.
Yeah. Oh, she was that country singer you were talking about, isn't she?
Yeah.
That's not up my alley at all.
No, we haven't been doing that. We've been to any gigs recently?
I have. Well, no, you strangely. Have.
We went to see, did we mention this? We went to see OMD, didn't
we? Yeah, good day. That was so good.
Was it good?
Yeah, I mean, they look
like. So much better than I was expecting.
They look like accountants, basically, on stage. They look like middle aged accountants.
Nothing wrong with that.
But Andy McCluskey's 65 now, I think.
Yeah.
Strats the old bass, skipping about the stage still. Yeah, he's still.
That was a good night.
I think, they're very good. Really good. It was a really great venue as well.
Yeah.
Eastbourne. Definitely recommend.
I went down
going to
Eastbourne.
The Winter Gardens at Eastbourne.
Oh, well, I think we've done this.
I was at the Congress Theatre the other day seeing Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, really?
That was really good.
We've done that in our choir.
Have you?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. I want to do that.
I missed choir last night.
They started, they were doing Rent. And the girl, I've said it before, the choir leader, she just finished at Little Big Things in the West End.
Right.
Fantastic show. And she was on the Olivia Awards.
Oh, was she? Yeah. I've actually got to, I've got to email the committee of choir, because last night we had a committee meeting and... And I basically told everybody that I couldn't do the summer gala concert, which is a bit of a blow because there's only two tenors and I'm one of them. And I organise all the catering, but I got the dates all wrong, so I've probably given them all heart attacks. So there you go. So that's now back on again.
I'm not sure what's worse, you bringing up the sort of retribution tape for Andrew or I listen to you talk about the choir. Anyway, so what gossip have we been... anything in the news that's been enticing us?
I've enjoyed seeing about Victoria Beckham turning 50.
Yes.
Yeah, with her pose.
I saw that photo of the Spice Girls.
Yeah, because they did a little...
Do you know what? There was more Botox in that photo than Hans Blix found in Baghdad, wasn't there?
Fillers.
They have got a combined age of about 250, haven't they? Maybe, I don't know how old Emma Bunton is. We'll give them 247.
I wouldn't have thought Emma would be on the boat. Ozempic. Oh, my gosh, in America, you should have seen that.
Who's that?
Well, the Ozempic. You know,
God, yeah.
Yeah, that's really quite big over there. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah. And there was the fun. And Mel B doesn't look like the same person.
She does look a lot
different.
She doesn't
look like the same person, does she?
No, she does look different. But I liked, and I think David Beckham might be
looking very odd these days. I know we're not allowed to say anything bad about him.
No, because we do love David. But didn't you have something about David Beckham? I always remember you saying something about.
I met him. Yeah, I met him at a school. I met him at a school game.
Right.
If you'd have read my book, then you'd have found it would have actually been there. But you amazingly would have missed that chapter.
I missed that one.
Have you not read his book?
I haven't.
Oh, you should have read it twice. It's very good.
Have you? I will read it.
It's got words in it and everything. I know your husband's read it.
Oi. Yeah. I promise I will
but
read
I did,
it.
But did, yeah, no, I went
Available
to...
Available from all good bookshops and Amazon. And £7.99.
Yes, get the new version where I make more money out of it. When I was working at school, our kids... who were Hannah's year, so I think it was about year 10 or whatever, they got drawn in a school national cup and they were drawn against some team in London. So in the minibus we go, it's drive all the way through London, and we have to, this team plays in Regent's Park. So off we go. Really, really late, get stuck in traffic and basically get to the Regent's Park literally about 5 minutes before the game starts. So I have to say, right, there's no time for warm-up. Your warm-up is basically running to the pitch, quickly get ready because I'll sign the team sheet and off we'll go. So anyway, kids run off to the pitch. I get the bags and everything and off I go. I'm walking through the park and I see this incredibly good-looking bloke walk past me.
Was it me?
No, it clearly wasn't you. Oh. And I thought, blimey, that bloke actually might be better looking than me. I thought,
Could have been me then.
It clearly wasn't you. So I'm walking off and I think, no, it can't be. And then he turned round and he had that really average tattoo on the back of his neck. I thought, fucking hell, it's Beckham.
It's David Beckham.
Bloody hell. Oh. And I thought, okay, well, fair enough. I've got to get to the game, so off I walk.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't have done
that. And I didn't. And
really.
I did things. I thought, I'm not going to fangirl him or, you know, try and get his number. So anyway, so off he goes to the game. Game starts. And now you have to sign team sheets. And so I get their team sheet and I look at the thing and there it says, B. Beckham.
Oh.
And Brooklyn was playing
In
the thing. And at the time, there was all this nads about Brooklyn being signed up by Arsenal.
I remember that.
Oh my God, if he's half as good as his dad was, they're going to murder our kids.
Right.
So anyway, game starts, and I'm thinking, he's very, very average.
He's
rubbish.
Oh. Which is why now he's making his living out of YouTube videos. Yeah.
Selling jam pots or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, so the game started and he's there. And then he comes back. And then he turned around and he's on the side. And I'm thinking, fuck me, it's Beckham.
Really?
And then we literally the thing. And then you suddenly realise when you're there, you're thinking, at the top, well, even now, you're thinking, he's got to be one of the most famous people in the entire world. And he's just watching his kids. So
he was retired at this point, wasn't he?
Just about, I think. Yeah, he's just about. This is probably 2014 or something like that.
Right, yeah.
So he's just about retired. And then you realise...
Has anybody else recognised him at this point?
Not really, no.
Right.
And the teacher...
He's got like a beanie hat on.
Yeah, it was a dreadful day and it was really raining and he had like a big, big Australian sort of like leather jacket and hat on because the weather was awful. And then you realise that Brooklyn, I think, was only one of two... sort of English people. There was a lot of Russian kids, it looked like, from the night. And then you looked around Regent's Park, which was really empty, and you realised there was loads of people just standing in the middle of Regent's Park looking at nothing.
Right.
And then you think, what the hell are they doing? And then you realise they're probably the bodyguards of these Russian kids.
Oh, of the kids.
Don't want to get... So it's that sort of school.
Wow.
So you think, oh my God. So anyway, the game started and we had a kid called Sam Firminger, who was a nice lad. And the ball comes in the two, and him and Brooklyn run together. And Sam Firminger absolutely smashes Brooklyn Beckham with the perfect half-ball, half-man challenge. Takes Brooklyn Beckham right out. And I'm like, Sammy, that is a great tackle. Brooklyn Beckham looks like he's going to get up and cry.
Oh.
And Beckham's like, Brooklyn, don't cry. Get up, don't cry, Brooklyn. Get up. And this sort of stuff. And then another dad, one of our other dads who worked in London, he'd come to watch our one of the lads play. And he's looking at me like, Mr. Simmons, that's David Beckham. And he had no shame. And he just went off to talk to him.
Yeah.
So Mark Shackle just went off to talk to David Beckham. And he comes along and he has
totally
a chat. And he has a chat. And he's a really nice bloke. And he told us that when the previous week he'd gone to another school and he'd had to go after 5 minutes because he just got totally inundated by kids wanting selfies, wanting photos. And the fact, you know, we didn't was really nice and thank you very much. So yeah, we spoke to him.
So did the kids recognise him?
We got to half time. We were 1-0 down. We got to half time. And of course, I'm trying to give my inspirational half time talk. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to get back in the game sort of thing. Otherwise, we're going out the cup. And they look over and they're like, they clock who it is.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't care who it is. We're 1-0 down. Get your head screwed back on. Oh. We want to get back on the bus with the result. And it's like, you know, no, we can't do a selfie. No, none of everyone's got their phone. We can't do anything. And then I said, he's just a dad watching his boy play football. Leave him alone. And I said it quite loud.
I bet you did.
And their teacher came over and he said, thank you very much for just allowing him to be a dad today. Because it doesn't happen very often. Anyway, we lost 3-1. We got back on the bus. On the bus, when they got their phones back, it went into bedlam.
They're all texting.
Everyone it's on social media, it's on everywhere. So by the time we get back to school, it's gone like mayhem. Even when I get back here, my kids have found out about it.
No.
I walk through the door. They run down the stairs like I've just been on a tour of Iraq and I've just come home. As if I've, you know, tell me all about Beckham, tell me all about Beckham. But the strangest thing ever, and this is actually pathetic, is that a day later, a friend of mine texts me and he said, what's all this crap about Beckham coming to your school? Coming to our school. And I said, well, he didn't. Yes, he did. It's all over Facebook. And two mums that we know, and I used to teach their kids for cricket, they'd found a picture from the paparazzi, put it on Facebook and said, oh my God, I don't believe after all these years, David Beckham has come to our school.
You're joking.
And this big picture that they picked up.
And they weren't even there, the mothers.
And so I said to my friend, I said, well, unless they're in Regent's Park with me and Mark Shackle, then they're talking crap. No, don't be stupid, he said. I said, I'm telling you. I said, I did this match. We were literally alone in Regent's Park.
Yeah.
And And all these people, there's like hundreds of followers and hundreds of messages. Oh my God, did you get a selfie? You should have done this. You should have done that. You think they're not even there? They're just literally made
they
up.
They weren't even there. It was
absolutely bizarre. So yeah, the world for about a day and a bit. My association with Becca was my favourite one. We had a really lovely kicker, Will Harris, who was in that class. And when we were putting the stuff going back on the bus, he looked at me. He said, "Is he the most famous man you've ever met, sir?" And I just said, "No, I've met Nelson Mandela." Just go, come on, William, on the bus. So I'll do that. So that was my Beckham story.
Wow,
so
that's pretty cool.
He was nice.
He was nice.
He was
though,
a good
he?
Bloke. He was a really nice bloke. And Brooklyn Beckham, he's probably a better chef than he is a footballer.
No.
That's all we can say. It's probably time for the first break.
It is time for the first break. Yeah, we're slightly under rehearsed here, so we're going to go on to a break, and our sponsors will obviously pay us quite a lot of money. It'll pay my petrol money to coming down here anyway. And then after the break, we'll come back with all sorts of exciting things. So don't go too far.
Welcome back to Homer Potts Happy Hour. We're coming in with a quick email from Anne. Anne sent us a very nice email. Thanks also for the people who have also sent them in. We will get round to covering them. And Anne was on a plane the other day and she saw a film that she decided was a bit inappropriate for 2024.
Right.
And she saw...
Is this the sort of thing that they now have little trigger warnings, don't they?
I think they might have a little trigger warning. And she wants to know if there's films that we really like that we now think are totally inappropriate. Because the film she saw Shallow Hal.
That is very inappropriate.
Totally. With
basically Gwyneth Paltrow is beautiful in one eye and slightly larger in the other side.
What's the name of the other bloke who's in it? He's quite funny, isn't he?
Jack Black.
Is it Jack Black?
Jack Black.
He was Jack Black, wasn't he?
Jack Black and the bloke who was in Seinfeld. Was in it.
Oh, Jason Alexander.
Yeah, he was in it, wasn't he? And so they do it and basically, you know, gone about her being a hippo and, you know, she hiding behind the hippo and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, no, it's really sort of, she couldn't believe. So, so Anna's asked us if there's any films that we really like back in the day that we now think are totally and utterly inappropriate.
Right.
Or have changed so much that they just don't fit.
I take it we're not going to be including Carry On films and Holiday on the Bus.
Oh, yeah. No. And films about written by middle-aged men who basically are having some sort of midlife crisis.
Because On the Bus,
which was just that was the standard,
just
wasn't it?
By far and away the worst. In fact, Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse did a skit on it because it was just so appalling.
It was just two lascivious, dirty old men.
Dirty old men.
Yeah. Just dirty old men. Well, one of my ones is we went for Father's Day. Hannah and Lucy took me to see Back to the Future. Yeah. The musical, which is fantastic.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's excellent. So I thoroughly recommend anyone to go and see
that. It really good. It doesn't appeal to me.
Really, really enjoyed it.
I suppose it's because because it wasn't a musical.
Yeah.
I can't get my head around a film that wasn't a musical.
Yeah. No, they've done it really well. So anyway, a couple of days later, Hannah was staying here. So we watched the original.
Right.
Do they have the power of love in this musical?
They do at the end, yes. Yeah, so they've paid a bit of money for the rights. And... at the end of the film, I think for people who haven't watched it, I mean, essentially, Biffy's going to rape her at the end of...
He is, isn't
at
he?
The end of...
You know, in the car.
In the car, at the end.
Oh, yeah.
With George needs...
Yeah. And everyone's rooting... and when we watched it back in the day, thinking, come on, George, stand up for yourself. Come on, George. Come on, George. Hit him and get...
Yeah.
But
get
essentially...
The girl.
Get the girl. But essentially, he's going to rape
her. It's horrible.
Mm. He's absolutely going to rape her.
Yeah.
And you kind of think... And Hannah's watching going, Christ... This is, and I sort of warned her. I said, "Yeah, this bit is a bit average." And of course, they've done it totally differently in the musical, and that sort of stuff. But there's stuff like that, and so I mean, can you think of any films that you've watched that are just totally changed now since?
Certain scenes. I mean, you can think of there's that scene in The Breakfast Club which I absolutely love, but when what's his name? What's the name of the bloke who plays Bender?
Judd Nelson,
and he's crawling under the table, and he starts looking up.
Oh, he's upskirting.
He's upskirting.
Yeah.
Now, he was doing it, and that might be the sort of thing that your average 16-year-old schoolboy would have did.
Mm.
But
as
John
in Greece.
Hughes,
as in Greece,
didn't actually have to stick the camera up Molly Ringwald's skirt.
But
and
he did.
Does, yeah.
But he
does. Up her skirt.
That's such
and
a
she,
classic
And she's
film.
Supposed to be 15 or 16.
I love that. I actually, well, the other film that I will come on to a minute is totally anti of what I think about The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club, I watched it the other day, and you still actually root for the kids.
Yeah, you do.
You
it's
still root for the kids.
It's
but I love it. And my kids really love The Breakfast Club as well, thankfully. Mm. But the thing I watched when I watched it the other day, and this makes totally idealism of America, is at the end of it, where they all finish the detention and they all go home and get picked up by their parents.
Yeah.
They all get off with the other person.
I know,
in front of us,
they
get picked
up. Don't they?
They all pair up. But not only that, they basically stand there and rip each other's faces off whilst their parents are waiting in the car. Like, can you imagine doing that? In front of having a huge snog in front of your parents' car whilst your parents are waiting. You're thinking, like, that would ever happen.
Yeah, because Molly Ringwald takes all the heavy makeup off. What's the name of the...
Yes, Ali Sheedy.
Ali Sheedy.
And makes
face.
Her popular.
Yeah.
Makes
you
give you the chance to be popular.
You couldn't do that.
You
now,
just couldn't
could
do
you?
That and this sort of stuff.
It's a great film.
And that is still a good film. But the film I really, really hate... And it's a lot of people's favourite film, is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Not for me.
God.
Never liked that one. Did you like that film? I did not like that.
Hey, you see,
you
your
know,
husband,
I'm not
really loved it.
Really sure really I have did. Sat all the way through it, but it's been on telly such a lot. Mm. It's one of these things they show quite late on, like Channel 5 or whatever, and you stumble across it.
He's just
and they're a
con man.
Shut up, boys. And there are bits in it which I really like, but he's
just
is horrible.
There's certain scenes that are quite good, but overall, I watched it with the boys fairly recently, and they were a bit like, "Nah, didn't really."
He's just
get
an
it.
Utter con man.
Is he? Yeah. Does he persuade his mate to basically knacker his dad's car?
Yes, his dad's pride and joy.
He sort of cajoles him,
but I'll take
he,
no consequences.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get in trouble and break your dad's heart and this sort of stuff. And I'm going to just do nothing about it and then walk away scot-free. You fancy if they ever did a sequel, he'd probably be running some sort of Ponzi scheme and taking people's pensions and inheritance work because that's what Ferris did because he's a bit of a scab like that.
Yeah, I had a friend who did that to me, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to name him.
And you wonder how the big house came around.
In the late 80s, sold me and a load of his friends terrible pensions. That he knew were going to make him
a ton of money,
and make a because these pensions were sold, weren't they? With where for the first God knows how many years, the guy who sold it was getting all the money, and he obviously did really well out of it because he came to the school I'm working at. He came to Haileybury. I saw him there 5 or 10 years ago, looking at the school, and you've got to have a lot of money to send your
really?
Kids there. Yeah. So he obviously did really well out of that.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, I've never been bitter about it because another mate of mine who got sold one of these things said, well, it was a bit shit, wasn't it? We ended up not losing any money because the ombudsman had realised that these things had been going on, came in and basically guaranteed a certain amount of money.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't lose any money. And as my mate said, well, if he hadn't sold it to us, we'd have never saved the money. At least we got something.
Mm.
But he did it knowing full well. He was,
and his name is Ferris.
And he was getting all of his mates to recommend other friends to do it.
Really?
Yeah. It's getting all dodgy. So, I mean, there's other numerous... Pretty Woman's a bit... I mean, she's basically...
She is basically a prostitute.
She's basically a prostitute.
She's
a prostitute. She might be a very good-looking prostitute, but she's basically a prostitute.
I loved that film. That was so good. But now I don't know whether they could...
I mean, there's obviously the...
Oh, she obviously was.
Greece is totally... Mm-hmm. I mean, Summer Nights.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the
she gets herself noticed, doesn't she, in the end by...
Yes.
Yeah,
by dressing slightly differently,
by dressing up, hauling herself into those trousers. I particularly for always really loved Bugsy Malone. I think it's a fantastic kids'
film.
Yeah. And then you realise that Jodie Foster is being an incredibly sexy Tallulah, and she's about 13 years old. And so
wrong on
so many
levels.
Sure,
what Sir Alan Parker was thinking when he was getting her to do that particular.
Well,
scene.
Yeah, I mean that takes you down the same sort of thing as Blue Lagoon, doesn't it?
Because the rest of the film,
Blue Lagoon.
So you got the Blue Lagoon. I mean, then there's other films that are just basically just won't get made today, like Animal House.
Yeah, that's really appalling, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
One of the greatest films of all time. I love that film.
Yeah, the 70s and 80s have got a lot to answer for when it comes to films, hasn't it?
Yeah, they're definitely not going well. So thank you very much, Anne, for that. That is that was a good one. We'll answer more of your emails in the next few episodes. Now, as we're so current, it obviously, was it yesterday or the day before? St. George's Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much of a recognition over here, does it, really?
No, not massive. A few people put something on.
I did particularly like that.
Patriotic pictures on Facebook.
The only thing on the TV about it was a sort of a riot from down in London from people dressed up in Union Jacks with gamini-shaped faces.
Oh, and Tommy Robinson. Tom Robinson.
They were trying to get somewhere, weren't they? I'm not entirely sure. What were they trying to get? Oh, the cenotaph or something?
Yeah, so basically we thought as it was, we'll be patriotic and we'll cover all the other countries as well. We're going to do famous Georges.
Oh, crikey, yeah, because George is a...
what other famous Georges are there that instantly spring to mind?
Clooney.
George Clooney,
yeah.
Your favourite George?
Do you like him?
I'm surprised you didn't come up with a prince with...
Well, I mean, that's obviously...
That's normally your normal standard fare, isn't it, of going to Prince George?
George
Best.
George Best.
Nodding, yes.
He's very dead, isn't he?
He's
George Michael.
Oh, yes. He's a very good one.
Here, isn't he?
George from Rainbow.
George is fantastic. Was he a sort of a round-faced horse or a hippo?
He was a hippo, wasn't he? He was a hippo.
Yeah.
He was a hippo.
He was good.
Yeah. He was so I think George from Rainbow way succeeds George Best.
Ezra. He's a newly famous George. Ezra. Mm-hmm. He went to school with somebody I used to work with, and he wasn't a pop star when he was at school. He was just fairly normal, and he asked to be a Facebook friend.
Oh, really?
And she turned him down.
Oh, excellent.
And then about
good
6 months later, she
became hugely famous.
She said, yeah, come request, and she just went, oh, no, you fuck off. And then he became very famous. And, I'm not entirely...
She had to speak to his PR department.
Yeah, she needed to be his friend. She had to go back. Yeah, but he's from Hartford, near where I work. So,
there's a few famous Georges. Okay, Boy George.
George.
George O'Dowd. Okay, so on the other hand,
I quite like him actually.
I did until I saw him out in I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah,
in the jungle.
I didn't like him.
No,
he was sneaky.
Diva.
Diva.
So obviously having to be, you know, partisan and do the other one. So we're David. Any St. David. So, any famous Davids?
David Soul.
Beckham, of course.
There is David Beckham. Do you remember when we were out in Australia, we used to play a game called Dave, didn't we? Do you remember we were travelling? And, we played this game called Dave, where you had to... you had to think of somebody called Dave who was famous.
We spent a lot of time in cars.
Yeah, and
so
then...
So you should be pretty good at this.
And then you'd really be thinking it for ages on end, and you'd suddenly say, David Baddiel. Anyhow. Bugger, he's got to think of another Dave.
Oh, I see.
And then, when we got to Australia, he met his future wife. So we sort of dismissed. So he was in Melbourne, I was in Adelaide. And, and then I can't remember who rang who. I think he might have rung me up. And just the phone went. I went, hello? And he just went, David Livingston. And then put the phone down. I said, you bastard. And that was about a month later, you know. I thought the game had come to an end because we completely ran out of Dave.
And with the person,
we're in a different continent by this point.
And the person we were travelling with, the other one we were travelling with, didn't like sport at all. So we had to play this game and we couldn't say anybody who was a sportsman. Yeah, so you wouldn't have been allowed to use David Beckham.
David Attenborough?
Yeah, David Attenborough.
Say him,
Anyway, this is going nowhere,
St. Andrews and obviously Prince Andrew. Yeah, anyone seen Scoop?
No, haven't seen
it. No, have you watched it?
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, we watched that the other day.
I've heard that Gillian Anderson slowly but surely starts turning into Margaret Thatcher.
A little bit. You can see that a little bit. And you think it's been embellished a little bit. But yeah, no, it's a good watch.
Do you think they are, because I read somewhere, I'm talking about these things if I've seen it. I don't actually have Netflix, so I can't see it. But I've heard that that they're very good when they are acting the part that we've all seen. So
yes.
The interview,
yes.
Right.
He is Rufus Sewell, yes. Isn't it? Absolutely being Prince Andrew. She's being Emily Maitlis. Mm. But in the other parts of the film, they are they're not sort of playing the part so much because they can't copy that bit.
They've copied what they're doing things. And, There's a really unfortunate bit at the end where he's done the interview and he thinks it's gone really, really well. And they've got a bit of him in the bath with his mobile phone. And then obviously the phone goes mad. He gets out of the bath and they've done it from the back where basically he shows his big flabby ass and his big flabby belly. I thought that was a bit unnecessary, filmmakers.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of Prince Andrew, but you didn't really need to do that.
Do you think it was a stunt ass? I'm hoping,
from Rufus Sewell's point of view, I really hope it was a stunt ass. They got some flabby 60-year-old bloke to stand there and show his curves off. God. And I did think, that's a bit cruel.
Yeah.
Because the bloke's cut. Yeah, he comes out of it, obviously, pretty badly.
There's so many things, apparently, on Netflix at the moment. I was thinking, I ought to just get it for a month.
You
and
should
then
do.
Just watch.
You can do
I'll wait until
trial.
The summer holidays when I'm not working. I'll get it for a month.
I've just finished
And then
that,
I'll just catch up with all of these things that I should
Baby
do.
Reindeer.
I've heard that's very good.
Yeah,
actually,
it is
no
good.
Idea what it's
very,
about at all.
Yeah, it's unusual. It's I've only just finished it yesterday. And it's good. It's very good acting, I think. The story is very sad, but I won't say anything because I think you should watch it with an open mind.
Okay, I haven't seen that. Did you watch Ripley?
Not yet. No, I've heard that's good as well. I've been really focused on...
I didn't enjoy it at all.
Married at First Sight Australia.
Christ, is that on there?
Honestly.
Do you prefer Married at First Sight to Real Housewives of...
No.
Right.
I mean, it's Real Housewives.
It's not the same class.
No, but it's pretty good because it's on every night, which I like. And so we're getting to the end of it now. But there's some good... Yeah, it's good binge watching. Jesus. No, it's good. Better than the UK one, the Australian one.
Is it? Mm. Yeah. Just to change the subject completely, I went down to the London Marathon on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've done how many marathons? Two.
One.
One marathon. Have you ever actually been to watch one
I
of these marathons?
I watched Jackie do it.
Bloody fantastic.
It's a great day. London is a great day.
And we're going to go, I think we're just going to go over here, because Jane, my wife keeps saying Jane, she asked me not to use her name on the podcast, but she works for a charity.
That's going to be involved.
And I said to her, well, why don't you volunteer next year or whatever, and I don't know if I can come down and help with the volunteer. But we and our nephew ran in it. He did very well. It was his first one. He's 44 and he did it less than 4 hours.
That's good.
He said it was it because he's really trained properly for it. He got up to the 20 miles, I think. Then you don't do any more, do you? When you're training.
Yeah.
You don't run a marathon. He got up to, and he thought, this would be fine. I've done 20 miles. He said the last 4 or 5 miles was horrific.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrific. But yeah, he did very bad out of it. But we were stood next to, I don't know, it must have been 30 people from the Mind charity, and it was just brilliant being next to them because you had a guy with a megaphone going, "Mind runner, there's a mind runner."
It was a brilliant atmosphere,
and it was great. And the people have got their names in your shouting out to go on, Bob, keep it up. And Bob gives you a wave and all that.
It's
sort
brilliant.
Of
well, it's really Jackie did the London Marathon a few years ago, sort of out of nowhere, and did really well. And so we went up to watch that. Unfortunately, it was on the same day as West Ham had gone to the semi-final of the FA Cup. So I was like, you need to get around quickly. So basically, you need a personal best here, love.
Because
basically, hurry up.
To kick off.
Come on. I'm going to miss. So I've sort of missed the...
Geographically, though, quite handy. You could plant yourself quite close to West Ham's ground.
No. This is in Villa Park. So I was watching it. Yeah, no, I didn't have a season ticket then. So I didn't have a ticket. Because when the semi-final draw came through, I was like, that date rings a bell. You think, oh, for fuck's sake, it's London Marathon Day.
Did she...
I went to it. It was brilliant. London, and the people running past, the spirit of it, and it was a nice brilliant day, and they looked like they had a really, really nice day, and it looks a lot of fun. When I did New York, it's nowhere near as enjoyable.
Said it's
or,
totally different.
It's London totally different. Yeah, well, London, I think it's
what made you do the New York one, not the London
because
one?
Because... I was going to do that and then she was going to do and then I was going to go and do London and she was going to go and do New York. We're going to do that sort of stuff. I did it for someone who used to sponsor my cricket academy. Their partner had kids had cystic fibrosis, so I ran it for them. Right. But the girls from cystic fibrosis were a nightmare. They were just on the jolly in New York.
Right. Basically got in there.
Absolutely nothing because of course you did the charity get in. But New York was dark. It was dismal.
So they sent some people from the charity to New York.
Yeah, it's just a job. They're there for
necessary, doesn't it?
Total crazy. Jolly.
Yeah,
and they got really nice. You have to raise a certain amount of money, and if you don't, they really start quibbling about the gift aid. Oh no, that doesn't count. You think I'm
is it just as difficult to get a place on the New York Marathon?
I think
as the London.
I think if you do it for charity, you get it easier.
Because I've got Michael Martin, who's he's sort of been part of an athletics club forever. Mm. You know, he's younger than me, but he's not a million miles off my age. And every year he says, I'm just applying for my rejection letter for the London.
Yeah, I've applied no twice chance. And been rejected twice.
Yeah, you've got to do it for charity. If you want to get in, you basically got to say, okay, I need to raise $2,000-$2,500. Lucy's doing the New York Marathon in November.
She's
got
a
place.
Yeah.
But again, she got rejected and then she's doing it for a charity and so she got in. So she's trained. Yeah, I was quite disappointed. Obviously, the time of year, I mean, New York's November, it's cold. Mm. I mean, you start at, I think the bus picked me up outside the New York Library at about 4 o'clock.
Oof.
Take you over to Staten Island, and he's freezing.
Oh, gosh,
and so you don't start for a couple of hours.
Is Staten Island an actual island? I can't remember.
Yeah, you sort of go
so
out.
So how can you start on an island? Where
there's buses into it. So you get bussed in and then you run over the bridge.
Oh, I see.
And then there's about four stars.
Oh, see, you're awake for the ferry.
My time was so slow. And then you sort of did it. And then in New York...
thick there, really. Yes.
And then whereas London, you start in one place, I think. In New York, you start in three or four places, then you all converge.
Right,
And obviously the elite runners go quickly, and you see that. You catch them on the way
gosh.
Back.
Yeah,
and then there's like a sprint. It's like a sprint.
It's sprinting.
There's like sprinting. I could keep up with them for about 30 seconds.
I couldn't get over how quick they were. Yeah. I thought Tip was very impressive, and it was only afterwards that you realise that you've seen a famous person go past. But there's a comedian called Ivo Graham. I don't know if you know him. He's quite amusing. He's very dry, a bit sort of posh and everything like that. And he's obviously really into running because he was pushing Rosie Jones in a wheelchair.
I saw them.
And he did it in about 3 hours, 20
minutes. Yeah, I know. I know they're
pushing
young.
Pushing Rosie Jones in a wheelchair.
That's amazing.
Really amazing.
I think Jackie did hers.
She was very enjoying herself. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Pushed around. Jackie did hers in the year when Jade Goody did it.
Right.
Or didn't do it. Or failed and fell out and did it in a pair of Dunlop Green Flash. No training. And amazing, he didn't finish. But it is tough. Yeah,
because
we
were sort of looking up who famous people and what times they did it in. And we knew that, who's that, the news reader? Sophie Raworth. And halfway round,
she got injured though, didn't she?
Oh, did she get injured? We wonder what happened to her, because halfway round, she'd done it in about an hour and 38 minutes to 12 and a half miles or something. And then we noticed that
she got to 18 and she hurt her ankle or something. She had to stop.
Yeah, you need to be. Yeah, if you're not,
I was
if you don't do
it, I'm just gonna collapse.
You need to really plan it properly. Yeah. I got mine all wrong. I'm just totally embarrassed about how long it took me to do. I should have done it at least 45 minutes quicker than I did. Even I was quite old when I did it.
Yeah,
but I got it all wrong. I ran for about 13 miles, and then. Thought, oh shit, I'm a bit knacked now.
I couldn't imagine anything worse than running a marathon.
Well,
honestly,
I hated it.
I want to try. I would like to try.
Come on,
see how many people can't pronounce my name.
Yeah, exactly. And a few people come on, Stuart. And it was like, so I went the whole way around America, New York, going, it's Stuart. Come on, Stuart.
You want to be called Ollie. Because everyone is called Ollie. Everyone's going, Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. But.
So. Yeah. Very good. I definitely.
London is a great day.
It was a nice day, actually.
Yeah,
it was because the weather's been rubbish, but it was a nice day.
London is a great day.
And it was easy to get to. We had a really good spot on a two-way section.
Yeah.
So it was really good.
It's a really good thing. And I thoroughly encourage.
How did we get here from Married at First Sight?
I had it written down to talk about it. I thought I need to get that in there. So anyway, we're going to go for a quick break and then we're going to come back.
Quick quiz.
We're going to do a quick quiz.
And then we've got something hugely important to talk about.
Oh, have we? This is
hugely.
I like it when Stuart comes out and says something like that.
Hugely,
very nervous.
Hugely important subject that needs to be discussed.
You've had a vasectomy already, haven't you? So
no,
that.
I haven't got that though. No,
you
I haven't.
Should go. I can highly recommend it. Anyway, sorry, we're going off piece here. We're going for a break.
Really going
and
off
we'll
piece.
Be back in a bit.
Welcome back to the last part of Homer Potts Happy Hour. Not to disappoint our legion of fans, it's quiz time.
Oh, lovely.
Excellent.
So we've done a very quick fire, 10 questions.
Good.
Unfortunately, the quizmeister has decided he wants to do better things by playing cricket today, so he'll just have to get it right and tell us he
does. Myself and Loney have to write this down?
You can, yes, you can write it down if you want. It's very, very quick. People can play at home. Question number one. What year was the iPhone first introduced?
The iPhone.
iPhone.
Not the iPod.
iPhone. Okay. What year was the iPhone first introduced?
Okay.
Question number two. Who directed Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Question three, particularly prevalent to Mrs. Wake over there with her dental problems. How many teeth?
He didn't bring that up before, did you? That was a private conversation.
I know,
I've got
really bad poor teeth.
Poor old, take some pills.
Yeah. I've got to take some pills before we start.
How many teeth does a human body have? Seeing as the fact you mentioned it earlier.
I did
really
say earlier
right.
that I had that many teeth.
You did, didn't
and
you?
And I've got all of my teeth, including my wisdom teeth.
Okay.
And this question four is very prevalent for you.
Oh, excellent.
What is the strongest muscle in your body?
The strongest muscle?
What is the strongest muscle in your body? Question number five. What is the loudest animal on earth?
Oh. I think I know that one.
Now there's a shock.
I might be wrong.
What are the chances?
I'm pretty certain I know that. Yeah.
Question number six. Who directed Titanic?
Oh yeah. The Canadian.
Oh, Rick. I can picture him.
Well, don't picture him. Write it down.
Oh. Yeah. Picturing things on a podcast. But,
really handy.
Yeah. I've written what he looks like.
Just draw. If in doubt, draw him. Show us a picture, and if he's right, I'll say, yeah, that's close enough.
God. Oh.
Quick sketch. I would say you're like Rolf Harris, but clearly you're not.
I've met him.
Does.
Anyway.
It wasn't your dentist at the time, was he?
No.
Question number seven.
Question.
Well, that's for another day, for another time. Question number seven. Who played the Joker in the 2019 film?
Okay.
Who played the Joker in the 2019 film?
Yeah.
Oh. Question number eight. How many claws does a domestic cat have?
We not on one leg, including...
Oh, it's got four legs.
Just yeah, you got with all four legs.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll have a guess.
How many claws does a domestic cat have? Question nine. If you don't get this one, you need shooting.
Oh, gosh.
What type of car was the mystery machine in Scooby-Doo? Oh, Raggy. Come on.
Mystery machine.
Oh, shit.
Oh, what was that?
That's my phone.
Ah.
Sorry, not off speaking to you, Mrs. Hendricks.
That's all right. Shows it's live.
It's live.
Unrehearsed.
It's live and it's all unrehearsed. Last question.
Okay.
Who is the most decorated Olympian of all time?
They're really trying to get hold of you.
They really.
Oh, I think, yes.
Olympian.
Yeah.
My phone just keeps on going now. If someone phones me, it just doesn't bloody stop. I need some sort of setting button that I obviously haven't pressed.
Hang on, vibrating. That last question. Olympian of all time?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The most decorated Olympian of all time.
Okay.
There's your 10 questions.
I'm so scared.
Clue, it's not Caitlyn Jenner.
No, not without the most makeup. So are we going to do answers now? Or
yes.
Are we going to...
Yeah,
okay. I think so, yeah. So everyone's written this down.
Everyone's going to be writing it down. The big subject we'll have to leave to last. Because
quite
it is
a good
that.
Idea to scoop through it. A lot of people have said to
me... Yeah, it's too long.
Sometimes they go on
a bit too long.
It takes too
long, especially if you do ones about... How tall people are. Right, yeah. what was the year the iPhone was introduced?
I'll put 2008.
I put 2001.
2007.
So close. Still, you get nothing for
nothing.
One year round.
Nothing.
Who directed Jurassic Park?
I put Spielberg.
Yeah, I'll put Spielberg.
Correct. It was Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
How many teeth does a human have?
30.
32?
32.
Oh,
I did mention it.
You did.
You did.
I wasn't that interested.
Yeah, because she knew she had 17 and yeah, so exactly, she wasn't.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one for you now. What is the strongest muscle in the human body?
Oh, do you know what?
Tongue.
Don't know this at all.
It's good for you. You use is this it? One a lot.
Do I?
The jaw.
Jaw. It is the jaw, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I was close.
Blimey, your jaw. That's true your as well. Jaw is yeah. the strongest muscle in the human yeah. body. What is the loudest animal on earth?
Is it howler monkey?
No.
I don't know.
Sperm whale.
How is
How
it?
How is it?
Apparently.
Hang on. Apparently. That apparently. Sounds a bit...
Well, no, yeah. It's just, you know, it said it on the page, so really? I'm going there. It's yeah. a sperm whale.
I mean, they must have it, because they're mammals, aren't they? The trouble is they look like fish, but they're mammals. They must have massive vocal cords. Massive. Must, can you imagine?
Especially
I mean,
when it's time to go off.
Seen the size of its old chap. Its vocal cords must be enormous, mustn't it?
Okay. Well, I think you would hear when it's time to get all excited. Who directed Titanic?
Is it James somebody?
Yeah, James. A Canadian gobshite.
He's got a beard. I
yes, he has
him.
Got a beard. It's not Jimmy Hill.
I can't.
James Cameron.
Oh.
Jim Cameron.
Who played the Joker in the 2019 film?
Do you know this?
What's his name?
Joaquin Phoenix.
It was.
Joaquin. River's brother.
Yes. How many claws does a domestic
cat I've changed. Complete. Yeah. I've gone now for 24.
I've gone 20.
It's 18.
Oh, that was 18? My original. Oh,
so 18, apparently. Not, so
four and a half claws on each.
No, actually.
It's not Santa foot. Claus.
Has I it got went more for 16 more first. Right.
I imagine it probably has, yeah. I can't actually go and get a cat
what did you
in
go for?
I went for 16 first, crossed it out, put 20, crossed it out, put 24.
Well, there you go. And
what type of car
I don't know
is the mystery one. Machine in Scooby-Doo?
I've got no idea.
Well, it's a van.
It's a van.
It's a VW.
It's a van.
Well, it's American, isn't it? It looks like
it's just a
looks
van.
Like an old sort of yeah. Bedford van.
Yeah, it's a van.
It?
Oh, okay. Van would have done. A van will give you a point.
Well, didn't get that.
And the last question, who is the most decorated Olympian of all time?
I put Carl Lewis.
Is it Michael Phelps?
It is Michael Phelps.
Oh.
Swimmer.
Oh, I suppose,
always
yeah,
a swimmer.
That
they get
sense.
A billion.
Because they go in for loads of different things.
17 different yeah. ones each Olympics. Well, so there you go. There's, that's the quiz. That's 10 questions. How many did you get?
Six.
Oh, you didn't.
I did. Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
James Cameron, Joaquin Phoenix, 32 teeth, the van and Michael Phelps.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you very much.
We'll leave that there.
So I hope you did well at home. Hope you did well. some are not listen, quite so cocky at the end of the quiz as they were a few weeks ago. When I spoke to this person the other day who complimented yeah. on how much they enjoy our podcast, yeah. she did say he got really liked it when you kept winning the quiz.
Yeah, thank you.
They did it last.
Yeah. I don't know why that's such a surprise. Today yeah. maybe was a bit of a low point. But
I think they like you because you're
really
got
good
much
at
more
this.
Humility than the rest of us are.
Exactly. Well, I
bet you wouldn't come in with recordings from the previous podcast.
No, I wouldn't. No. I wouldn't have stewed yeah. on it.
Stewed like, it for a month.
Actually, thinking
man.
About it, it's like yeah. something out of Alan Partridge.
Yes,
isn't it? He wrote something like that, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
needless to say, I had the last laugh. His book was full of that. At the end of every chapter, it was needless to say, I had the last laugh.
What's it? Are we not doing the big reveal?
We are doing
then?
The big thing.
Are we doing
it's
now?
A discussion that we need to discuss. It's become very important in the country.
Oh, okay. Was it?
It's to do with this morning a conversation, a subject that was on this morning.
The program. This morning.
A couple
morning.
Of no,
the
a couple
new
of days ago. No.
Oh.
It was about 40-year-old Matthew Barr was on this morning discussing a problem that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And people have decided that is this a sort of subject that should be discussed on daytime television?
Oh.
Because 40-year-old Matthew Barr is the possessor of the largest penis in Britain.
Oh, excellent.
No, I watch it all the time, and how did I not see that one?
it's caused huge controversy.
You've got to catch up. ITVX, is it on there?
It's not got loving huge, new presenters.
It's got huge controversy about should they be discussing this type of subject on this morning. So he's on with Ben and Kat.
So I'm not a fan, so I've turned it off a bit.
Oh, I quite like Kat Dealey.
Oh, no, she gets on my nerves.
Does she?
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. So I haven't been watching it so much.
Well, basically,
she's married to Patrick Kilty, isn't she?
She is married to Patrick Kilty.
I like him, but I just find her a bit annoying.
So, yeah, they did. And basically, the subject is 40-year-old Matt Barr is just talking about his problems.
Now, I think that's fair enough. I mean, now, that's a fair...
Okay, so you would... So basically...
But they show it.
He doesn't show it, but he basically describes the fact that this is half his problem because he has a 12-inch penis. Oh. Which is
it's
a big one.
It's quite sizable, isn't it?
And he's disgusting. And he's disgusting.
Footlong's the size of a subway.
So poor old 40-year-old Matt. Poor old 40-year-old Matt is describing.
Even I've come out in cold sweat.
Wow.
He's discussing the fact that it's quite awkward when he goes to yoga class. And the other people in the yoga class can't concentrate.
Where does he live?
Unfortunately for
40-year-old Matt, he's a bit unkempt. He's not a beauty, but he's just saying about the problems. And of course, they mention the fact that does he want a penis reduction?
Right.
Which is a very rare operation.
And probably is, isn't it? I mean, we've all had one, but has he considered a career in a certain profession?
I imagine there would be some sort of line of work.
There'd be loads for Matt of if his ability made, don't you,
for his ability, I would have thought.
I mean, he might have very poor ability, but
if it's making his life miserable,
he came across. Now he was on a program. Now I did mention this program to you because it was on about a year ago, and it was on Channel 4, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And the program was called. Do you remember this? It was called My Massive Cock. He was on this program.
Was he?
He was called Massive Cock, and he did get it out, and they showed a picture, and they showed a picture, and you're thinking, oh my fucking life, look at that.
My goodness.
It was called My Massive.
It's on Channel 4. You can get it on YouTube. You can get it on YouTube, and it's called My Massive Cock. And although I might have had a little giggle, it's actually quite sad.
Yeah.
And it's about the whole way, the fact that all your mates will just take the piss out of you. You can't go anywhere without someone mentioning, that's a bloke with an absolutely enormous cock. And you literally can't do anything. All you are known for is
had a mate called Neil. I remember about 40 years ago. I was about 21 or whatever. I went to the pub with him, and the first time I met his mate Neil, and he said to me, "Adrian, this is my mate Neil. He's got a massive cock."
Really?
And you don't know where to look, do you? But you did find yourself going into the urinal at the same time as him and having a quick glance.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
And then apparently, because the Daily Mail, obviously, are good at stuff like this, they found out apparently the world's largest ever cock was owned by Robert Esquil Cabrera from Mexico.
Right.
And he had one was 18.9 inches.
My goodness me.
That can't be true.
It's in the Daily Mail. It's in the Daily Mail. It has to be true.
It's possible.
It must be true. So you wouldn't...
That's about the length of that box there. I know you can't visualise this, listeners, but
it's 19 inches.
That box is pretty enormous.
So you'd have no objection turning on and discussing and seeing poor old 40-year-old Matt Barr looking a bit unkempt and a bit unhealthy, looking quite sad and sorry for himself.
Yeah, maybe I should have carried on watching that show after all. But no, I think it's a bit sad, really.
I didn't see the one on... Obviously, I've just read about all the controversy about it. But I did see... A friend of mine did say, you've got to see this Channel 4 programme, My Massive Cock. And all of them came across as really quite sad.
Right, yeah.
Quite sad cases,
I might have
really.
To look it up.
Maybe I will. It's just television
heaven. How are we doing for time?
We're doing rather... 58 minutes.
I'm sure that's time on such an important subject that we finish on.
Yeah.
Well done.
So it's been lovely being back.
Nice to see everybody.
Nice to see everyone. I hope you've enjoyed again today.
Hope
you've enjoyed. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And Andrew will be back by then, hopefully. Although He should have been back this week. He's got his calendar is all up the bloody.
His calendar is all up the
bloody. He knew we were. Yeah.
And it's cricket season.
We don't know what's going on with
it.
I'm
away next week.
Season.
I'm in Barcelona for my friend Sheena's birthday.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Lovely. You have a nice time.
Very
Thank
nice.
It might be such a good party as the last time you were there in Barcelona. But oh, no, that was Mallorca, wasn't it? The last party. Anyway, we're getting off subject
we're going,
here.
So
we've just said goodbye and now we come back again. So, okay. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Have a nice couple of weeks. See you later.
See ya.
Bye bye.
Homepot's Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.